Meeting of the House Resources Committee to order at 6:33 p.m. Representative Chris Birch, Representative Justin Parrish, Representative Dave Tallarico, Representative George Rauscher, Representative Harriet Drummond, Vice Chair Dean Westlake, Co-Chair Andy Josephson, and myself, Representative Garen Tarr, are present. Please let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. We are doing public testimony, the continuation of the public testimony we left open from last week's meeting. And so far, what we have is about 22 people signed up. We're going to leave this open for a little bit, and then, you know, if we don't see a lot more people signed up, it won't be an issue. But if the list starts to grow, we'll have to cut it off again. And then, like I said earlier, we'll continue on into another meeting if necessary. So that's the plan. For folks that are listening online, we'll limit testimony to 2 minutes each, please. And I will have to interrupt you if you've exceeded your 2 minutes, so be prepared for that as a matter of fairness to all testifiers. And also, questions are sometimes asked of testifiers, so please stay on the line or close to the table until we ask committee members if they have any questions for you as a testifier. And I think that is it. What we'll do here, we have folks in the Homer LIO, one person here in the room, 5 people in Fairbanks, 8 people off net, and then 6 people in Anchorage right now. And we'll cycle through the locations and try to get through the folks who have signed up, you know, first and go in that order. And so hopefully that will work well. And if there's anyone who has a time constraint, if you want to let the LIO moderator know or otherwise get in touch to let us know, we can try and move you to the top of the list. So with that, if we could have Mr. Brad Faulkner at the Homer LIO.
Yeah, through the chair, my name is Brad Faulkner. I'm a lifelong resident of the state of Alaska. And I followed oil taxes pretty much my whole life since 73 when then President of the Senate, Terry Miller, changed his vote in what we became known as the sellout session. And have followed oil taxes fairly closely since. I think this is a good bill. It just doesn't go nearly far enough. The 5% minimum, we've been getting 4% as our minimum, and bumping that to 5% simply doesn't go far enough. From my perspective, oil taxes in the state of Alaska have always been written by the oil companies. And one of the things this bill corrects is interest-free loans to the oil companies. And how can we get to a point where we're giving interest-free money to the oil companies after 3 years of taxes owed, no more interest is owed on it? I just don't understand that without going back and saying, well, the oil companies have purchased our legislature. So where I am very, very happy to see the tenure of this bill and where it's headed, I think you need to go further with it. The state is in crisis mode, and what you're doing is tweaking something that you really need to take an axe to. And anyway, so I support it, and I hope you look at doing something, bumping some of these numbers up so that we really get money out of the oil industry. If you look at the credits just on Point Thompson, we spend about $1.5 billion. And at 5%, that's about $75 million a year that we're foregoing in interest on our investment. And what are we getting out of it after cost of lifting our 10,000 barrels of condenses a day is around $7 million a year. So we're getting 10 cents on the dollar back on our investment if we just left it in the bank. So I encourage you to go further on this bill, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Faulkner. We appreciate your testimony. Any questions from committee members? Representative Parrish has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Faulkner. May I ask, in what was it just as a concerned citizen that you've been observing the oil tax structure?
I put my way through Harvard University, a degree in economics, working on the pipeline. And for me, the elephant in the room has always been and will always be oil tax structure. My own representative, Paul Seaton, who I agree with on many things, for his entire career voted with the coalition in the House, the ruling coalition. My senator, Gary Stevens, was on Vico's Dirty Dozen. He didn't get indicted, but he was one of the guys getting the most money out of the oil industry. And my concern is our legislatures have always been for sale cheap. We're dealing with billions and billions of dollars of public resource, and we're being sold down the river for bags of peanuts.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for the testifier? Thank you, Mr. Faulkner. We really appreciate you joining us this evening. And Representative Johnson has joined us, so we have a full committee. Thank you. Going to the Juneau LIO, Jara Stephens. Stevens?
Okay.
Yeah. If this is your first time testifying, we'll try and make it a good experience. Please join us. And we just need you to state your name for the record and then provide the testimony that you'd like to share with us.
All right. Hello, my name is Yara Stevens. I live here in Juneau, Alaska. And I just wanted to testify that I'm all for this, the Bill 111. I do have to agree with the man beforehand that we, I don't think we are going far enough to the, sorry, words are escaping me. I do agree we're not going far enough, but this is the step in the right direction, and I'm all for this bill.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm really nervous.
That's okay. We understand. That happens to all of us.
All right. Thank you. I secede the rest of my time.
Well, thank you, Ms. Stevens. Really appreciate it. It sounds like it was your first time. So awesome for being out here and being a part of the democratic process. And I hope it won't be the last time we see you here in the Capitol.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to go to the Fairbanks LIO to Pamela Throop, please. Pamela Throop. And just apologies for any name I get wrong, even our previous testifier. Apologies for that. But Ms. Throop.
Hello, my name is Pamela Troop. I'm a commercial real estate broker in Fairbanks, Alaska. I want to give you my support for this bill. I think that it's been way too long that we haven't really gotten the money that we should have from the oil taxes, and I think the credits don't make any business sense to me at all. They never have. I've read Robin Brennan's report to you, and I support it 100%. We should be receiving our fair share of our resources, and I agree with a tax on gross production and something that's simple for us to audit and that we don't have to have a whole building full of auditors just to be able to wade through it. I'd like to tell you a little bit about the real estate market here. Right now, we have a building for sale for $500,000. In 2015, it sold for $950,000. We can't seem to give it away for $500,000. It's 23,000 square feet. If I told you what the building was, those of you who know Fairbanks would know it. It's a good building. We've had a ton of people look at it, and no one willing to make that investment. Last year, our sales were down by nearly 30%. And I think we've only begun to touch the devaluation that's going to happen to real estate throughout the state. I think the housing market in Fairbanks is not going to impact that as much so soon because of the F-35s, but it will happen as well. I went through the last downturn as a broker, and this one feels like it's going to be even worse. One of the reasons I really wanted to come tonight was I looked at this today, and I have felt for a long time that we're a banana republic. Our citizens are poor, and the rich people walk out with all of our resources, and it's dripping out of their pockets, the money and the oil. We can't afford anything for our kids, for our schools, from all kinds of things. So I want to read the definition that I found of a banana republic today. In political science, the term banana republic is a pejorative descriptor for a servile dictatorship that abets or supports for kickbacks the exploitation of large-scale plantation agricultural, especially banana cultivation. That's where it started. More generally, it is a derogatory term for a country that is considered to have a weak economy, a dishonest or cruel government, and public services that do not work. In economics, the banana republic is a country operated as a commercial enterprise for private profit, effected by a collusion between the state and favored monopolies in which the profit derived from the private exploitation of public lands is private property. And I have felt like that for a long, long time, and I think we fit that description exactly. I thank you for your service. I know it's hard work. I've been sitting on a board here in Fairbanks for the first time in the last year or so, and it's very, very hard work. I do appreciate your service, and I hope that you will fix our oil dilemma and our crisis. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Throop. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, well, we really appreciate you being there this evening. Thank you so much. We're going to go to the off-net. Andy Bond, please. Andy Bond.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, please state your name for the record, and we'd be pleased to hear your testimony.
Hello, my name is Andy Bond. I am testifying today in opposition to both HB 111 and HB 133. If the state of Alaska wants to remain competitive with the lower 48, then adding new oil and gas taxes is not the right answer. I'm an engineer for Kalis Energy Alaska and have been working in the Alaska oil industry for 30 years since I came to work for ARCO after graduating from college. I've raised my family here and have called Alaska home. But I'm concerned that I'll have to leave the state and not be able to live here any longer if these oil taxes continue and the oil industry goes into a funk. We are currently fighting to get investment dollars to fund our Alaska projects, and the competition is the unconventional shale in Lower 48. The economics of our Alaska projects are challenged compared to the projects in Lower 48, not only due to the high cost of operating in Alaska, but because of the potential tax increases that are being considered. Just the fact that portions of the legislature are considering changing oil taxes again in a negative way chills the potential for investment dollars to come to Alaska projects. I would like my children to have the opportunity to work in the Alaska oil industry for the next 30 years. The only way that's going to happen is for new projects to be developed, and the best way for these new projects to occur is to maintain appropriate tax credits for new investment and to maintain current tax rates. Tax credits counter Alaska's high-cost environment and allow the state to compete with other lower 48 or international oil investments. I'm very concerned that our new North Slope projects will be shelved or delayed because we can't compete with the economic returns of low-risk, lower 48 projects. Higher taxes will discourage future investment. Companies are also very nervous about another change to the tax structure. Tax policy stability is a key factor for many companies. Another change will cause them to look elsewhere to make investments. We need tax stability to encourage continued investment and to get more oil into the pipeline. New technology and huge shale developments are driving investment dollars into places like Texas and North Dakota. If that continues, I'd be forced to move to Texas where the work is being done, and I don't want that to happen. So again, I am strongly in opposition to both HB 111 and HB 133. The state needs to be competitive with the lower 48 where the oil boom is taking off again. It is critical for Alaska's long-term future and viability. Thank you for your time and the opportunity to testify tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Bond. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, just want to remind folks, we're just taking public testimony on House Bill 111 this evening, and so just if we can keep the comments to that, because they're very different pieces of legislation, that would be appreciated. We're going to go to the Anchorage LAO, Carol Frazier of Aspen Hotels. Is Carol available?
This is Carol.
Hi, Carol. If you could please state your name, and we'd love to hear your testimony.
Thank you. This is Carol Frazier. I'm the Regional Director of Sales and Marketing for Aspen Hotels of Alaska, and I'm speaking tonight in opposition of HB 111. We have six hotels around the state and are currently building our seventh hotel, which is set to open in Sitka this summer. And all of our hotels have had many years of success because of our partnerships with the oil industry. Today I want to talk specifically about our Kenai Aspen Hotel, which for the last 9 years has been a very profitable hotel for us. We can easily track all of our clients by company or segment, so I know exactly how much school business versus tourists versus corporate business we get each year at all of our hotels. We've had a reduction in oil company business by 52% year over year at our Kenai Aspen, and there's no replacement for this loss of oil industry revenue. An increase in cruise ship customers or tourists doesn't affect the Kenai like it does in other regions in the state. Aspen Hotels of Alaska was established in 1998, and for the very first time in 19 years of doing business in Alaska, we're looking at layoffs because our Kenai Aspen has again lost over half of all of our corporate revenue in just the last year. We're doing everything we can to mitigate our losses. We're cutting costs, we're tightening our belts, we're closing floors to conserve energy, but we still must lay off Alaskans. One thing that I don't do as the director of sales is I don't raise my room rates. I'm discounting on Expedia and Booking.com and other booking sites more than I've ever had to do just to try to get in additional room sales. So again, I cannot raise my rates to create more revenue, so it doesn't make sense to me as a businesswoman in Alaska to raise taxes in a time of low oil prices. If I raise my hotel room prices right now, I will be less competitive on the Kenai Peninsula. HB 111 wants to raise oil taxes, which will also make Alaska less competitive in the global marketplace. HB 111 is a jobs bill, and it's a job reduction bill. By increasing taxes, Alaskans will lose jobs in every sector, in every industry, and I'd like to ask you to not approve this job reduction bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Frazier? Okay. Continuing on, thank you for your testimony. We are going to go to the Kodiak LIO, to Mr. Mike Milligan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for all the work to the committee that they've been putting in on this. And I rise in support of the bill, but whether you support it or not, I just want to thank the committee. It's been a really detailed process that you've gone through, and it reflects well on all the members. I support this bill. I've been following this for over 25 years and all the different oil issues. Whenever Texas and North Dakota comes up, one thing that a lot of people forget is that most of that development, if not all of it, occurs on private land. So there's not just a tax structure. There's also a lease structure that is always left out of the discussion. And people say the oil companies are always going to leave, but they rarely say where they're going to go globally. There's only 25% of world available to the oil companies, and I contend, as I always have, that the limiting factor in development in Alaska is access to the pipeline. And if Alaskans want to develop their oil that's on state land, which we're really encouraged to see all these new discoveries on state land, if we want to develop that oil and see it open to as many developers as possible, we have to do what we can to open up the pipeline. I can compare different things. I can say, Madam Chair, why don't we have healthcare like Canada? I can say, why don't we have a $400 billion permanent fund like Norway? But very few people will come before you and say, why don't we have a tax structure like so-and-so? As far as stability, I'm a layperson on oil, but I feel that the two most stable places on the planet are Saudi Arabia and Norway for oil development. If stability is the issue, let's go with Norway and Saudi Arabia's tax structure. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for all the work that the committee's done.
Thank you, Mr. Milligan. We really appreciate your testimony and compliments to our committee, and thank you for calling in. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, thank you so much. We're going to go next to the Homer LIO, Bob Shavelson, and then we'll go to the Fairbanks LIO, Luke Hopkins. Bob Shavelson, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Bob Shavelson. I'm here tonight on behalf of myself and my family. I've got my two young daughters here. They're listening, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify here before you. I want to speak very strongly in support of HB 111. I think it's going in the right direction. I think it's going to save Alaska money. It's going to help cut our deficit. It's going to redirect our wealth. We're an incredibly rich state, and the question here isn't about taking something away. It's about redirecting our wealth to our schools and our roads and our seniors, and we create a lot of jobs through those economies. So I support that a lot. You know, I've looked at what huge tax incentives and other rollbacks have done in Cook Inlet here. I've worked for the past 22 years, and it reminds me of a saying that free markets are a wonderful thing. We should try them sometimes. And I believe that the subsidies and the unlevel playing field that we've created here has created economic distortions that have resulted in bad economic outcomes for our state. And when I listen to some of the testimony that I've heard tonight and in other places in opposition, I have looked at Robin Brenna's presentations. I've looked at the industry presentations, and I think Mr. Brenna put it right. He said something to the effect that the way you know the Alaska's production tax needs to be reformed is because the industry says it's working. So it's a very self-interested position that they come from. I believe that we need to move even further than this bill. As Mr. Faulkner stated, our minimum tax, pushing it up to 5%, is simply not enough. We have to go further than that. And there's other aspects, too, but I think it's going in the right direction. I think we need to push a little further. And with that, I'd wrap up and say thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Shavelson. Appreciate it. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. Thank you. Appreciate your calling in. We're going to go to Fairbanks, to the LIO, Mr. Luke Hopkins. Hello, we can just hear you for a moment.
Hi, this is Luke Hopkins. Thank you for this opportunity to the House Resource Committee co-chairs and committee members. I'm in support of the changes that have put forward so far in HB 111. It does address some of the issues that 6 months ago I had with discussions with Kalis on the desire to change the last session's legislation that was passed, to the point that many of those changes I see in this bill, they probably could be stronger for the new explorers or the small explorers that are out there doing their work. I just heard some of the comments about what might happen to Kalis from a previous testifier, but when I was speaking to the top management of Kalis in that period 6 months ago, they were concerned that the payments that they're getting, they haven't received them. So that was held back in a veto, but they need those funds to be able to show that an investment is worth it. They did have a concern, and I have that same concern, that the obligations that are being made, that are put out there for the legacy fields, is something that I see changed in this legislation, and it's very important with the 5% floor, which probably could be higher. I don't know whether we'll ever get that. Changes on the interest rates for the delinquent taxes, changes to gross value, changes in the amount of tax credits being carried forward. Those are all things that are very important. In this current state of the state's fiscal position, I don't see how it's sustainable that even right now we have $1.3 billion owed, as I understand it from the information I received from the Office of Management and Budget, by the end of 2018, I believe, that's owed. These things have to change. Our state does not have the state income to be able to continue these tax credit dollar values that we're going to have to be paying out, and in the with the credits and the production tax changes that were made last session. So I certainly hope that this bill can make it through all the way to the governor's signing. It's very complex, and that probably is the way that it needs to be. There's not a simple fix to these complicated positions that keep teetering back and forth. But I certainly hope that this body and the House and then the Senate concur with these changes that are needed. Our fiscal state needs to be brought into line, and owing a huge amount of funds to companies. The only thing I can say is that I hope that the new explorers can receive some money so that they can keep their investments going with their financial institutions so that they can keep finding new oil. Thank you very much for this opportunity to present my testimony to you.
Thank you, Mr. Hopkins. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, thank you. Appreciate you calling in tonight.
Mr.
Oh, pardon me. Sure. Representative Birch.
You know, I thought I recognized the name here, but Mr. Mike Milligan, I believe he testified last week. I've written his name down on Kodiak. on House Bill 111. Are you accepting testimony from the same people on multiple occasions on this bill?
I am not, and I did not catch that, so it's my apologies, Representative Birch. However, there are many people on the list that have sent in written testimony that I was not planning, you know, I was planning to allow them to have that public testimony. So that is my mistake, and I do apologize for that.
Okay, yeah, I was just seeing if you could make people aware of that when they come up to testify, that they get, you know.
One chance at it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's continue on here. I'm going to take a couple from the off-nets. Brian Clemens and then Aves Thompson. And we do intend to only allow each individual to have one time to testify. And so if you wouldn't mind honoring the honor system on that, I am looking through the names and hopefully don't make that same mistake, but we really appreciate if you could help us with that. Mr. Clemens, please.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Brian Clemens. I've been in Alaska for a little more than a decade, and I call it home. I work for Bristol Bay Industrial, which is a parent company of at least five other member companies that actually work in responsible resource development as service companies and contractors. One of those companies, our largest company, has a significant number of employees that work throughout the state in Kenai, Anchorage, Palmer, Fairbanks, and up on the North Slope. Since 2015, we've had a reduction in both revenue and employees that has had a significant impact on our economy. Tens of millions of dollars that would have gone into the pockets of Alaskans, and what's even worse is it really does affect families. Families that once had a job in 2015 are now without. I am calling in strong opposition to HB 111. This legislation was being developed to fill a budget gap, and it is not to encourage responsible resource development, which in turn brings more revenue to the state. It's not good tax policy, as it is reactionary. It will not increase production. It will stop exploration and development up on the North Slope, and it will not encourage investment. So again, I'm in opposition of HB 111, and thank you for taking my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Any question for the testifier? Okay, we really appreciate you joining us this evening. Mr. Thompson, is Aves Thompson available from the Alaska Trucking Association?
I am co-chair Tar.
Thank you. If you'd please put yourself on the record, we'd love to hear your testimony.
Thank you, co-chair Josephson and Tar. I'm Aves Thompson, and as its executive director, I'm here to testify on behalf of the Alaska Trucking Association and its nearly 200 member companies. We oppose House Bill 111 because we believe that Alaska cannot increase oil production by increasing taxes. Alaska cannot tax away the industry's incentive to invest and still expect to have a sustainable economy. While it's tempting to collect every dollar possible from the oil industry through increased taxation, doing so makes Alaskan projects less competitive for worldwide corporate investment capital. Why would you invest your money in Alaska when you can realize a greater return elsewhere and where there is might be an expectation that the tax system may change again next year? The state of Alaska realizes more from a barrel of oil than do the producers. Senate Bill 21 in 2013 encouraged increased oil production and indeed has performed as expected. We ask that you please don't change oil taxes again. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. We appreciate you calling in this evening. Any questions for Mr. Thompson? Okay, thank you again. We are going to go to the Anchorage LIO, and if I could have Randall Akers followed by John Sturgeon. Mr. Akers, if you could please testify.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Randy Akers, and I am a lifelong resident of Alaska. Respected members of the Alaska State House Resources Committee, I am speaking to you today to fully oppose HB 111. I am very cognizant of the budget deficit we Alaskans face and understand we are all panicking a bit. However, to take our spending woes and simply pass them on to our most valued business and resource is not only wrong, but it's quite foolish. With the ongoing decline in oil prices and already loss of jobs and income here in Alaska due to these low oil prices, and now to think it is sound legislation to simply tax the oil and gas industry more, it's just the wrong thing to do at this juncture. As I pondered writing this note, I began to look at how many times we have changed our oil tax structure, and not surprising to many of you, but it was to me, we have changed this structure 7 times in 12 years. How do we expect anyone to plan a future with that many changes in this many years? I liken this to raising my daughter. If I gave her rules to live by and abide by, and every other year I changed my mind and gave her a new set of rules, she'd probably need a counselor by now. We came together as a community and a state and passed SB 21, after which we experienced a slight revitalization in the oil and gas sector. And now, only a year later, we're here again wanting to change that structure. What message does that send to any and all of the prospective investors or companies regarding looking to Alaska as a possible location to invest in? More importantly, what message does that send to those companies that have invested in our state? This is not the message nor the time to hamper, hinder, or further erode the business we have within the oil and gas sector. We have definitely dug a hole with this deficit, but we're trying to fill that hole with oil, and that's just not what is needed. We need these producers to increase production, increase development, and increase their stake in our state. And HB 111 will do exactly the opposite. Please send the right message to our biggest resource and job sector, and send the message we want them here. I respectfully ask that you please reject in its entirety HB 111.
Thank you, Mr. Akers. Any questions for the testifier? Mr. Akers, I did have a question. The seven change, you know, saying that the taxes have changed 7 times, I've seen that in some emails, but the bill under consideration would be the 7th, and so there haven't been 7 changes unless there's something that I don't know about, and so I'm just wondering if you could share. You were saying that you came up with that through things that you'd looked through. I'm just wondering where you came up with 7.
Then this would be the 7th. I apologize, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure I hadn't missed something along the way. Appreciate your testimony this evening. John Sturgeon, is Mr. Sturgeon available?
Madam Chair, this is John Sturgeon. I would like to thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'm a 47-year resident of Alaska and have spent my entire career in resource development and timber industry. I would sincerely like to thank the entire committee for all the hard work you do. I expect that maybe 10, 15 years ago when a lot of money was coming in, it would be a lot more enjoyable to be a legislator. I'd like to express my strong opposition to House Bill 111. I think it's just bad business. As the gentleman before me stated, this will be the 7th time in 12 years that you've the legislature has changed the oil tax policy. I think that just sends a really, really bad signal to the industry. Industry I'm in, that's happened to us, and I know the chilling effect it has as far as people wanting to invest in the timber industry. And I think an example would be is that if we all have mortgages, and if the bank one day decided that it wasn't making enough money, it was losing money, and decided for that reason to increase our mortgages, I think we'd all be upset, and that's what I look at the House Bill 111 is actually doing. The other thing I'd like to say is that sometimes you think no matter what we do, the oil company, the oil industry will never go away. Well, I'd like to testify today that when I first got to Alaska, that timber was king. It was the second largest industry in Alaska. It had 6,000 well-paying jobs. And it's gone today. It's just the shell of itself left. That is because of government policy. It wasn't because of markets. It wasn't because of lack of capital. It wasn't for all the reasons you normally see a business go away. It was because of government policy. And we're hoping that, changes like House Bill 111 in tax policy is not going to chase away the industry. May not go all of a sudden, but it certainly sends some bad signals
and anybody that wants to invest in Alaska. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sturgeon. Appreciate your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? Representative Johnson has a question. Can you pull your mic up, please?
Mr. Sturgeon, this isn't really a question, but I just wanted to say it's an honor to have you testify before our committee tonight, and I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions for the testifier? Okay, then we are going to go to the Homer LIO. Linda Feeler, please. Is Linda available? Linda from Anchor Point. I might be mispronouncing the name. At the Homer LIO. Fire. Okay, why don't we try Gordy Vernon at the Homer LIO, and we can come back to Linda if we... Okay. We lost the Homer LIO. Is Rachel Disney, I believe she is here in person. If you could please join us, and we'd be happy to take your testimony.
Hi, my name is Rachel Disney from Juneau, Alaska, and I'm here to testify for HB 111. I'm a little nervous. I hear a lot of people talking about how raising taxes on oil industry is a bad investment. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous that we are considering raising taxes on the citizens before we are considering raising taxes on people who are taking the resources out of our state and profiting from it. We don't get anything from what they are taking from us, and these are our resources, and we need to do everything we can to hold on to that. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony, Ms. Disney. Any questions for the testifier? It looks like you might have the youngest testifier with you if she wants to say hello. Thanks for visiting us. Have a great night. Okay, we will go back to the Fairbanks LIO if Pamela Miller is available.
Hello. Hello, my name is Pamela Miller. Thank you for this opportunity to testify. We need this change to develop Alaska's most important resource, our children, our education, and sustainable resources for the future. I support HB 111. I don't think it goes far enough. We need to recalibrate the oil production taxes now to correct them from mistakes that were made in other changes and to meet the current relatively low oil prices, a scenario that was neglected in analysis in the past, and why we would want to give away and make easier to develop our oil at such low oil prices and lose tax revenues does not make sense to me. Under ACES, we finally had a straight line oil revenue even as production from the Prudhoe Bay fields was going down. I believe that Prudhoe Bay and its satellites should not be considered new fields. This oil potential has long been on the docket for development and does not need incentives. The 5% gross value tax should be a minimum regardless of the per barrel price. This should be the same thing across the state. For any part of the state, explorers or producers should not be able to take credits to reduce their taxes below the 5% of gross value, regardless of price. It's wrong to sell net operating losses, and tax credits should not be transferable. I'm pretty appalled that $35 million in tax credit certificates can be transferred to another profitable company, so that they can further reduce their taxes to us. If we're going to give away $35 million tax credit certificates, I would rather see subsidies in broadband here in Fairbanks, even 3 miles from the university. Our broadband access is poor. It's poor throughout the state, and we need it for our future that is going to be sustainable. Thank you for working on this bill. I hope it passes with some improvements and look forward to future times to testify. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. We really appreciate your testimony this evening. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Miller. We are going to go to off-nets. I'm going to have Parisa M. followed by Paul Kendall. Parisa, are you available?
I am, Madam Chair. Good evening. My name is Teresa M., and I work with Arctic Slope Regional Corporation. And I want to thank you today, the co-chairs and members of the committee, for taking my testimony. I am also submitting written comments for your consideration. ASRC is the largest Alaskan-owned company with approximately 10,000 employees nationwide. And we're in a unique position with regard to this bill as a landowner, as a lessor, as a producer, and as an explorer. And so HB 111 impacts us in several ways. And like the state of Alaska, the majority of ASRC's revenue base and investments are associated with the oil and gas industry. We feel the impacts to changing oil price just as the state does. And with the current production boom in the lower 48, we feel Alaska must remain competitive and attractive to industry. And it's time to start managing Alaska's financial affairs similar to how we would manage our own businesses. If the legislator fails to take a pragmatic approach to providing fiscal certainty, our financial woes will continue to spiral downward. ASRC will always operate in Alaska. We're situated on the North Slope of Alaska, and this is our home. We have 13,000 shareholders who consider Alaska their home. We'll continue to invest in Alaska and our region. However, we have to reconsider how our investments will be made under the current form of HB 111. Simply put, it's bad policy to keep changing the oil tax regime, as we have seen over the last 12 years. ASRC specifically will be impacted by the oil tax policy in several ways and therefore does not support HB 111 in its current form. First, HB 111 would decrease the gross minimum tax from 4% to 5%. And provides no option for small producer credit. And a small company or a startup company like ASRC, that's very important with respect to our business planning. Second, net operating losses, loss credits will be reduced from 35% to 15% and not eligible for gross minimum tax. For ASRC, NOL credits our determining factor as to whether to, you know, to continue to invest in a project as it proceeds forward. Changes in the NOL credits eliminate a mechanism to continue to invest in a low-price environment like we have today. Lastly, HB 111 impacts the price per barrel tax credits, which were designed to be progressive credit tied to oil price. Previously, the per barrel tax credit was linked to the price of oil in order to provide relief for industry in a low-price environment. ASRC encourages the committee and the legislature to consider our concerns and engage in construction of a fair and balanced tax structure that works for all Alaskans. We can't control the price of oil, but we can determine what kind of business environment Alaska will have and what kind of partner the state of Alaska will be. Both of these factors are important considerations that will drive investments, not just outside investments, but investments from Alaska Native corporations as explorers in the state, regardless of what the price environment is. So thank you very much for listening to my testimony, and happy to take any questions should you have any.
Thank you, Ms. M. Any questions for the testifier? I did just want to make a comment. This bill does not address the small producer credit, but that the previous date that was set in statute, you know, that's not under consideration right now for when that expires and when the work had to commence by. So I just wanted to make sure that that was known.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Paul Kendall, next, please.
Well, thank you, Representative Tarr. I was the sixth one to call in. I think it's 6:13. Are you going by who called in or just a random process?
We are going through the various locations because everybody, unfortunately, called in at the same time. And so, as a matter of fairness, we're trying to go through the Anchorage LAO, Fairbanks LAO, Kodiak, Homer, Offnets, and there have been folks in the room. So apologies that you've had to wait, but that is the best way to accommodate the fact that everyone basically called in when you called in.
Well, thank you for that courtesy of answering my question. I don't usually get that from them. Usually they won't talk. So, and by the way, Ms. Tara, I want to thank you for your conduct some of us traditional males that have been around a little longer than some of the younger ones, you know, we look for those things, and you're relatively new, but I think you're doing very well with your intentions and your clarity, and also we get some of your sidekicks there, too, so that's a compliment. My name is Paul, no initial D. Kendall, my phone number is 222-7882. There are other Paul Kendalls who clearly chew me out about the fact they don't represent my opinion, and so I have to clarify that because, you know, IO continues to forget that. I give my phone number because I love Donald J. Trump, and if we have to take back this country, I want other Trump people to know who we are to join the battle. Having said that, I'm not in favor of HB 111, but the reason I'm not is the way you're conducting this. Here's what I would like to suggest you do and why I'm opposed to HB 111. What you need to do is to seal up that fund, that permanent fund, even tighter, and the dividend. There's nothing wrong with these entities. You need to seal them up now, keep them in place, because the things that are coming, we're going to need to be able to react very quickly. In order to do that, we need to look at the foundational things that haven't shifted, because if all the pieces start shifting, we're going to get a terrible loss. So you need to seal that up. You need to come to Anchorage and give Juno up. But Juno is just killing us, just taking us over the edge. You need to gather the people up here. You still there?
We're still here and listening.
All right. I've got the phone. I didn't expect to get a hold for this long. So what I'd like to see you do is come back and invite these companies in to talk with them. And by the way, we really need to see under oath testimony. And if you'll invite these companies in, our partners in revenue generation only, instead of trying to assimilate, compile all these various issues, needs, and bills, and then compress them into an area where you're absent from the greater body of your state here in Anchorage, it's just foolish all the way around. By coming here, what happens is we can engage in dialogue, which gives contractual reference and standing and obligations. It builds testimony. And what happens, the reason we need that, is that when you look at, for example, the British Petroleum putting its building up for lease, we are missing an opportunity to participate in a transition in economies the likes of which we've never seen before. And you folks doing all that front-end concocting constructions of PMB this, your market, you can't begin to touch what that market's going to do once it goes. So if you come back here, we might be able to do partnerships with BP on their building or other oil companies, or we might begin to see where they're going to pull the oil from, because there are a multitude of large oil fields. And when Trump throws down here, and we expect him to at any time, we're going to need to know where our oil companies are at. And also, we could look at ventures with their mineral operations so that we could define and give new values to our rare earth materials. So when you look at things like that, or perhaps even having AKUSA manage our fund that's not political, which I'm now seeing the permanent fund appears to be becoming, we're missing an opportunity to gather our people and to literally lead the lower 48 new economy. I'm sorry, are you still there?
Yes, but Mr. Kendall, your 2 minutes did expire, and I wanted to give you a little extra because there were some questions you had when you first started out, but could you please wrap up?
Sure, and thank you for that. I've got several calls coming in on my phone here, and I didn't anticipate that, and so I apologize. Thank you for the extended courtesy. My wrap-up would be this. I continue to maintain that most of our leadership is broken because they're based on fear and greed, need, and companionships of circles of friendship. You need to get up here, be fearless, gather our people up, and we need to have meetings where men are not afraid to get angry and yell. And you as a leadership body have the ability to watch over us and lead us and literally be more than you are and make us more. But if you continue to hunker down and do these aggravated assaults and ambushes on the people's monies by some twisted, convoluted terminology or commentary, and hang out in Juneau, we're just going nowhere, and I'm so discouraged by that. And thank you for that brief moment I got. And by the way, your callers that call in, my heart, I love the people that call in. Like, I've not heard pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered since I was 12 years old in a little ranch town. And those are little moments that define us, but they're special moments in the day. they represent each of us, and so I'm trying to make a message. But thank you, and I'll get off of here, and just please get up here to Anchorage and lead us like a real leadership, and then let's get some big deals, some really big deals going.
Thank you, Mr. Kendall. We really appreciate your testimony this evening, and again, your compliments to the committee. We really appreciate that as well. And we're going to keep going because, just like we said, some folks have been waiting for quite a while, too. So thank you again. Mr. Adam Trombley, are you available?
My name is Adam Trombley, and that's going to be difficult to follow up with him. I do oppose HB 111. Companies need stability to make business decisions. There are two important factors for business: the price they can sell their product or service, and the cost of doing business. Since oil is based on world markets and out of any one particular company's control, it makes the cost of doing business all the more important. Oil taxes have changed 6 times in the last 12 years. That makes it difficult, especially for smaller companies who have to seek capital on the open market to gain funding for exploration and, in the end, hopefully production. By continually changing the game for industry, you're damaging the ability of smaller companies to pitch their project to those who provide funding. Not all fields are created equal. Not all oil fields are created equal. Large companies don't produce particular fields because they can't make it profitable. Smaller oil and gas companies can produce these fields at a profit. And the fact is that the newer and smaller fields will, in the end, fill the pipeline. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony, Mr. Trombley. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, thanks again for joining us this evening. Just going to give a quick update for folks who've been waiting because we're about an hour in here. I think we'll be able to get through everyone. We've got 3 people in Homer, 2 people in Fairbanks, 7 off-nets, and 3 in Anchorage. So I'm going to go to Homer and continue through the cycle here, and I think we'll be able to get through. So Linda Feeler.
Okay, so obviously you didn't hear any of my last speech, right?
No, we didn't hear a word, so...
Okay, it would have been nice if you would have commented then, but okay. So thank you. My name is Linda Feiler, and I have lived in Anchor Point, Alaska for the last 40 years or so, and I'm asking you to please pass this bill. These reforms are important. They will not solve the state's deficit, but they make financial and psychological sense. Passing comprehensive oil tax reform will bolster other fiscal reform efforts. How can you ask Alaskans to pay an income tax or a statewide sales tax or lose their dividends so that they can help pay for millions of dollars in direct cash payments to a company undertaking normal for-profit business operations? As an Alaskan, I have a stake here, and we all do. We Alaskans have a right and a duty to tweak the instruments of oil taxation. These laws count, and they must constantly adapt to changing prices and political situations. I don't know of too many oil companies that have gone out of business in Alaska, except for the ones that came up here that were defunct to begin with, like Buccaneer. H. Bill 111 decreases our fiscal liabilities, and it's a step in the right direction in an uncertain time for our state. We need a government that is both transparent and responsible. Someone needs to explain to my neighbors how not taxing any corporations responsible for continually raising prices for oil and gas improves their lives. I hope you'll pass this bill, or perhaps make it stronger and then pass it. And I would really appreciate it if we could find out what... You know, when I was in business... Sometimes I had to take a cut in my salary or tell my employees that I needed to borrow some money because things were tight. I don't see that happening with any of the larger corporations. Okay, that's the end of my... Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Feiler. And if you have additional comments, please send written comments to us, and we will make sure that all committee members have received them, as well as post them online. And again, apologies. The Homer LIO somehow dropped off a little while ago when we had called your name the first time, and I don't know the technical reason that happened, but we do really appreciate your testimony, and apologies that happened earlier.
Thank you.
We're going to go to the Fairbanks LAO to Mr. Ken Hall.
Thank you very much. Yes, my name is Ken Hall. I appreciate the opportunity to speak before the committee here. And it's an important part of the process and much appreciated whether you have an opinion that I share or a different one. It's important to have that. I'm here representing no one in particular other than the Hall family. I stay involved with different organizations because I like to be involved. But really who I'm representing is my family and the opportunity for my family to be able to stay in Alaska and have the jobs that will provide the income that they need to stay in Alaska. I'm opposed to House Bill 111. I see it as not helping anything to increase production within the oil pipeline. I've seen the oil industry go up and go down with the prices and the revenue on into the state. But House Bill 111, I find totally baffling. We've had this conversation with Senate Bill 21 and then again last year with 247. And we continue to go ahead and try and tweak things and change things. And it creates tremendous instability. And we cannot continue to do that. Our tagline is often is our fair share. Yet, as I was looking earlier today, kind of without my glasses on my steering wheel in my car writing down these notes, it appeared to me it looks like between local and state governments, the take is about 50% for the government. So we get about a 12% royalty. About 16% goes to the federal government, the balance to the industry. You kind of wonder, what is our fair share? Within a room with all three players on in there, the government, the industries, you kind of wonder who really is the greedy one in the room. There's likely not to be a radical change in the price of oil anytime soon, but regardless, we need to get the oil in the pipeline. I don't see House Bill 111 is doing anything to increase oil into the pipeline. Through everything else, what it is, it's an increase in taxes, and that's all it is. It does not increase oil into the pipeline. The topic of credits, yes, it can be contentious. There's a lot of different opinions on it. It's a complicated conversation. Targets or credits that are targeted, they do work. You can Cook Inlet is an example. They're not talking of brownouts anymore. A number of years ago, there was great disdain against the three large oil producers on the slope.
Mr. Hall,
that were applied to. Oh, excuse me, I missed you there.
I just wanted to let you know that your 2 minutes have expired, but we'd love if you could summarize or wrap up.
Oh, certainly. I guess the long and the short of it is I'm opposed to House Bill 111. We need oil production in the line. We need to create an environment that will enable producers, whether large or small, to be able to contribute to the Alaskan economy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. We really appreciate your testimony. Does anyone have a question for the testifier? Okay, thank you again, Mr. Hall. We're going to go to some off-nets here. I'm going to take Pete Stokes and then Tom Walsh. Pete Stokes, please.
Yes, Co-Chairs Tarr, Josephson, and the members of the House Resources Committee, thanks for your service. My name is Pete Stokes, calling from Anchorage. I'm testifying for myself in opposition to HB 111. I grew up on the Kenai Peninsula and graduated from UAF. I'm a licensed petroleum engineer with over 30 years oil and gas experience in Alaska, Lower 48, and overseas. I currently work in Alaska at an Alaskan-owned oil and gas consulting firm, and you'll be hearing more from him, the principal here, right after me. But my observation is we've had to lay off about 40% of our professional staff since the oil prices started going down. This trend can be turned around with increased oil prices if we have a stable oil tax environment. HB 111 represents the seventh major tax change in the last 12 years. No sovereign but Alaska changes its fiscal regime as often as our state. even when producers have to operate at a loss or very little net income. Although the state is in a budget crisis due to the low price of oil, to increase taxes and eliminate credits now will certainly drive away investment that would develop future projects that you've recently heard of, such as Smith Bay, the Pica Unit, Willow, and Nuna. These are major new developments. The companies that found these new oil fields may be unable to finance the development or may be unwilling to invest due to the uncertainty of the state's ever-changing position on oil taxes. They have other places where they can invest, and that's who we're competing with. Think of credits for these developments as investments that are the future of Alaska oil revenue and jobs for my kids and grandkids and their peers. Our state finally made its fiscal terms attractive to investment with the passage of SB 21, which has led to investments that has resulted in the North Slope production having no decline in 2015, and it actually increased in 2016. Once again, for the state's future oil revenues, please do not change the current oil and gas fiscal system with the tax increases and the credit losses proposed in HB 111. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate you joining us this evening. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, thank you. We're going to go then to Mr. Tom Walsh.
Yes, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And Co-Chair Josephson and members of the House Resources Committee. My name is Tom Walsh, and I'm joining my friend and colleague Pete Stokes in opposition to HB 111 this evening. I'm a geophysicist and managing partner of Petrotechnical Resources of Alaska, or PRA, an Alaska oil and gas consulting company founded 20 years ago in Anchorage. PRA employs a broad cross-section of very talented and respected oil and gas experts like Mr. Stokes, and our clients include major oil companies, independent oil companies, small E&P companies, federal, state, and local agencies, and Alaska Native corporations. Early last year, PRA employed over 100 consultants, and since early 2016, we've had to downsize 40 to 50% due to low oil prices and diminished activity in the state. While the oil and gas industry in the Lower 48 is rapidly recovering with rig count climbing and production on the rise, we Alaskans are still in the grip of a recession. Our major fields are naturally declining, and our exploration and development opportunities are far more expensive than those of our competitors in the Lower 48 and elsewhere. We've rejoiced in the welcome news of new discoveries on the North Slope this year, but development of those resources is extremely expensive, and commercial decisions regarding their development require tight cost controls at every level of planning and development. Changes in tax structure are not typically treated as variables in our commercial model, but perhaps they should be based on the history of our ever-changing taxation of the oil industry. We Alaskans are extremely dependent on the revenue from oil production, and we act as though these resources and the revenue they generate are dials we can turn up when we need cash. Unfortunately, we're now at a decision point at which we can turn screws tighter on the oil industry and drive ourselves completely out of business, or we can think longer term and take action to accelerate our recovery from this price collapse. Please ask yourselves, if we really want to be the only government in the world foolish enough to increase taxes on a challenged industry, one which has provided 80 to 90% of our general fund revenue for decades and provided for a permanent fund. Thank you very much for your service and for this opportunity to share my views this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. We appreciate your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, thank you again. We really appreciate hearing from you this evening. We're going to go back to the Homer LIO. Is Gordy Vernon available?
He's approaching the table.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hello, Natural Resources Committee. Yeah, I support House Bill 111, and my name is Robert Gordon Vernon. And the oil industry said with Senate Bill 21, where they spent nearly $200 to swing the vote to get the tax structure they wanted, they promised there would be more investments and more jobs if this oil tax policy were adopted. Well, we adopted it, and now we have a third to a quarter of the people in the oil industry out of work. And it's really not the tax structure that affects it, but the price of oil. We've got the third lowest tax on oil of any government on the planet, and it's not bringing more jobs to the state. And I feel like the oil taxes that the oil tax credits are the most gerrymandered of any tax in the world. There's some real powerful interest influencing it. And I've even jumped on this myself and gotten into an Australian firm where the state of Alaska lent them the money to buy a decrepit rig. It gave them oil tax credits while they drilled, and they had no dollars or to back up a cleanup or the ability to clean up any spill. And they stiffed numerous businesses and the workers while they were still collecting tax credits. So I believe that part of what you attract with these oil tax credits is some real fly-by-night operations. So I would suggest that you tax the oil companies fairly, and you can get 2 to 2.5 state workers, nurses, teachers, police officers. They're a lot more needed and a lot more positive contribution to the communities than these oil workers that fly up from Oklahoma and extract the state resource and then export it so Repsol, Eni, Exxon, Total, BP can make a profit. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Vernon. We really appreciate your testimony. Any questions for Mr. Vernon? Okay, at this time, because people are still signing up, I'm cutting off the list for this evening. However, it might mean that we need to keep public testimony open for anyone that's listening. But if we do that, then Wednesday evening will be the last evening for public testimony, and we'll sort of see where we are here. We want to finish by 8:30. And so if you're signed up now, we're going to make our best attempt to get to you before 8:30, but we will cut off signing up for this evening and, again, leave public testimony open. I'm going to Representative Birch.
How many people are remaining?
We have about 13 more people, which will probably take us till 8:30. However, someone did just sign up, and so I need to cut off the ability to sign up, because if people continue to sign up this evening, we won't be able to finish. And I think our best option then, having not previously announced it, would be to announce that Wednesday would be the last time for any testimony. And then we could have previously announced it so people would know and cut it off.
You can't just let everybody sign up that wants to sign up right now and then close it and be done with it tonight?
Well, I don't feel comfortable doing that because we hadn't announced it previously. I thought that we would be okay, but there's still people continuing to sign up. And so let's continue on and see where we get. I think we'll get through all of them tonight. But like I say, just in the interest of making sure that everyone, quite a few industry folks still here on the line from the Anchorage area. And so that's partly what makes me not want to cut folks off. I think they're folks that individuals would want to hear from. So let's keep going, and remember, if you don't have 2 minutes worth of testimony, that's okay too. And so we will go to, let's see here, apologies, we were on the off nets. I'm going to go then now to the Anchorage LAO, and is Junior Wilcox available?
That's J.R. Wilcox, Representative Tark.
Okay, well, it says Junior on my list. Apologies. Please state your name and provide your testimony.
Just don't call me late for dinner, right? All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to testify. I'm here as the in my capacity as the chairman of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. The Anchorage Chamber of Commerce is a century-old, 101 years, I think, now. We represent 950 members approximately, which employ over 54,000 employees. We had the privilege of coming down and meeting with many of you here a few weeks ago, and I know that there aren't any really easy decisions to be made in this session. Clearly, revenues are down, cuts are difficult, restructuring the permanent fund is a difficult decision, and whether you're talking about a tax or a cut to spending, any of those things have a stakeholder group. No cuts or tax raises are good for the economy, and it's certainly the Anchorage Chamber's position that the fiscal gap needs to be closed through some sort of a probably a broad-based set of things, including cuts and revenue-raising measures. However, oil tax raises are a uniquely destructive way to raise revenue, and we would urge the legislature to refrain from tinkering with the production tax system. And part of the reason isn't, it's not a question of equity or, oh gosh, do you like the oil companies or do you not like the oil companies? It's that our production in the future is a direct result of the tax structure we have in place today. I would submit that if we had not put the punitive tax rates in that we saw under ACES, there would be more oil in caps today and our fiscal situation would not be as dire. So if we are to raise or continue to adjust our production tax system, it's likely that investment decisions which might have brought additional oil in the taps will not be made, will continue Alaska's reputation as being a risky place to invest. And given how much uncertainty that there is for the business community in general right now with the economic climate the way that it is, injecting more uncertainty into the production taxes and all the drama we've seen over that in years is, I think, the last thing we need to be doing. What we really need to be doing is figure out what we can do to encourage investment to bring additional oil into taps. And we've heard tonight there's many resource plays left on the North Slope, and if companies feel comfortable investing in those things, we'll have additional oil revenues generating royalty, which is, you know, usually brings in more money than the production tax anyway, and production tax for years to come, having an increasingly large share of an increasingly small number, is going to mean we're going to have to cut much more deeply, and I don't think have the kind of state that we want to be living in, you know, 10 or 20 years in the future. So I'd urge you, please, to leave the oil tax system in place and close the gap through other measures. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, we're going to go to Scott Hawkins then with Advanced Supply Chain International. If Mr. Hawkins is available.
Yes. Thank you, Co-Chair Tarr and Co-Chair Josephson. My name is Scott Hawkins. I'm the President and CEO of Advanced Supply Chain International. And we are a service company that that does business with the oil and gas sector in Alaska and elsewhere. I just want to share with you a couple of things. One is that, like many other companies that like mine that have testified tonight, we have seen significant reductions in business activity and employment. We're probably down over 20% in our Alaska operations, and there's really no relief in sight. We expect to be down further another 12 months from now. Those are very deep cuts. 20% is a big number. The only growth that we've seen in our business in the last couple of years has been in the lower 48, in places like North Dakota and East Central Texas and even Pennsylvania. We've been fortunate enough to be able to participate a little bit in those regions. And that speaks to the testimony a while back of folks where I've heard some sentiment that, hey, we've got the oil, where else are the producers going to go? I guarantee you there have never been more alternatives for oil and gas investment, even just limiting to domestic alternatives than there are today. So the other point I'd like to make is that this isn't just about the oil and gas economy, even though our industry is a very important industry, and our families have living incomes. And even though the oil and gas sector contributes tremendously to the non-profit organizations in the state, but it's a much broader problem. The Alaskan economy is in a recession. We're down about 10,000 jobs from where we were about a year and a half ago, and there's no end in sight there as well. So House Bill 111 really just exacerbates both an oil and gas problem and a broader economic problem and makes the economy worse. I would urge you not to move this bill, and by not moving it, you would send a very positive signal that some of the worst instincts on the policy side are being set aside. Thank you very much for allowing my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Hawkins. We really appreciate you joining us this evening. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. We're going to go back to the Homer LIO. Sue Christensen, please.
Hi, my name is Sue Christensen. I spent lots of years working at different oil fields around this state, and I really appreciate this opportunity to be part of the annual discussion on how we tax petroleum. I thank you for continually looking closely at oil prices and political situations and adapting the laws in ways that are appropriate. And I understand all the oil company employees that are following the talking points that their employers have provided them, but I really encourage you to pass House Bill 111 and to stop the current system of paying millions of dollars in direct cash payments to businesses operating with losses that we're currently required to pay them, and I think we have like a $1 billion debt that we haven't even paid yet this year. The oil companies make big profits. There's no, you know, getting around that. They can afford to be taxed. For many years, we taxed them, and we benefited through our schools, and I know the oil prices are something that you're looking at right now. But the average oil field worker makes about $150,000 a year. Most jobs go to out-of-staters. Oil field workers are non-oil field workers in Alaskans. Most Alaskans make an average of about $50,000. The oil companies pretty much, Sean Parnell was working for the oil companies before he got in office. He worked for them the entire time he was in the office, and he's working for them now and getting big bucks from oil companies, and we can afford to tax them. We can afford to reduce, this bill leaves a generous tax structure in place and allows the oil industry to thrive. 4-5% is nothing. It needs to be stronger. Okay, that's it.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Christensen. We really appreciate your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, seeing none, we are going to go to the Fairbanks LIO, Merrick Pierce.
Good evening, Co-Chair Star and Josephson and committee members. My name is Merrick Pierce. I'd like to express my thanks to House Resources for some of the good work you've done this year. For example, the presentation made by Robin Bennett, your committee, was outstanding. Other committees should follow your example. House Bill 111 is a good start in reforming Senate Bill 21 by trying to get a fair return for oil, as Article 8 of the Alaska Constitution requires. Our significant budget deficit can never be fixed unless Alaska gets a fair return on our oil, along with the elimination of the corporate welfare provisions in Senate Bill 21. One concern, of course, I have with House Bill 111 is the 5% floor is not nearly enough, especially for legacy fields like Prudhoe Bay, where TAPS was paid for decades ago, and much of the infrastructure there was paid for with exploration credits that were issued by Alaska. I'd like to address just very briefly the myth of low oil prices. I remember a time when oil prices were below $10 and they were in the teens. You know, $53-$54 oil is $28 million of oil leaving Alaska every day, or $800 million a month, or roughly $10 billion a year. Norway, of course, is a very high-cost country. It doesn't give away its oil and now has almost $900 billion in its sovereign wealth fund, which was started 20 years after the Alaska Permanent Fund. With regard to the interest provisions for delinquent taxes in this bill, it's an important reform. I recall 25 years ago when Hugh Malone was the revenue commissioner, the fight then was to change the simple interest on delinquent taxes. And of course, simple interest, there's no incentive to pay your taxes. Simple interest, the longer you don't pay, the better off you are. Well, we won that fight, but I never thought we could be worse than simple interest. I was wrong. We're now at zero. I'll close by reminding you that our long-term obligations will not be met if we continue to give away our oil. Just with PERS TERS alone, we have a $130 billion obligation over the next 70 years. We have a period of time in the not-too-distant future we have to come up with $3.5 to $4 billion per year for PERS TERS. There's no way we can pay those obligations unless we start getting a fair return for our oil. And we will be discharging PERS TERS obligations for bankruptcy, is my fear. Thank you very much for your service, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Really appreciate your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time. We're going to continue on here. That completes everyone at the Fairbanks LAO. We still have one person in Homer. Please don't go. We are going to the off-nets, Mike Sally from Ketchikan, if Mr. Sally is available.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can. Please state your name, and we'd be pleased to hear your testimony.
Yeah, I'm Mike Sally. I am a 70-year lifelong resident of Alaska, born in Ketchikan. I'm a self-employed commercial fisherman and a sawmill operator. I support House Bill 111 and think it probably needs to be even stronger. Multinational oil companies or their subcontractors enjoy profits off Alaskans' oil that are among the highest in the world. And in Alaska, they don't even need to clear minefields or risk being shot at. When I watch a recent British Petroleum promotional video that shows the British Petroleum was quite happy with a 2% profit while the host country, Iraq, walks away with the other 98% of the proceeds, doesn't give me much confidence in the complex, confusing, and convoluted explanations by the oil industry in Alaska. And as far as the North Slope borough residents and numerous other people that are crying about House Bill 111, Alaskan oil belongs to all Alaskans, not just those in the rail belt or on the slope. All Alaskans have the right to see their oil sold at fair prices, and fair prices does not mean giving oil companies the most lucrative profits of any company in the world or any country in the world. I lived in Alaska before the pipeline boom, and I'll continue to live here after it. There's nothing wrong with slowing oil flow to a trickle in that pipeline until prices for oil increases. That oil is not going anywhere if it's left in the ground. The oil industry has, in spite of its vast wealth, has not significantly addressed externalities, those costs borne by the public commons, specifically the growing CO2 loading in Earth's atmosphere from burning fossil fuels, the health costs of asthma from breathing polluted air in urban areas. All of the jobs in the world are worthless if climate change renders the planet unlivable. Again, I support House Bill HB 111. The bottom line, Alaskans need to know their resources are being sold at a fair price. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sully. We really appreciate your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, thank you for joining us from Ketchikan. We're going to go to Reed Christensen from Anchorage. Reed Christensen, please. Mr. Christensen, if you could please state your name for the record, and then we'd be pleased to hear your testimony.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
We can. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to call in. I do appreciate that option to be able to participate telephonically. I wanted to just testify.
Could you please state your name for the record?
My name is Reed. Yeah, sorry. Reed Christensen.
Thank you.
Testifying tonight on behalf of myself and my family. I'm also the president of Dallenbach Corporation. Dallenbach was founded here in Alaska in 1975. And less than 2 years ago, we had 32 employees, but now we're down to 26. Of the 26 employees, we've had to put a couple of them on a part-time basis, as well as 17 of them are on a reduced work hour to a 32-hour work week because of the current state in the oil and gas industry in Alaska. So I'm calling to testify against HB 111. Now is not the time to raise taxes on the oil industry. I was listening to some of the other callers, testifiers tonight, raising taxes on the oil industry would be as crazy as telling the hotel manager in Kenai that they simply need to raise rates on their rooms to get their fair share from the hotel guests and recoup their profits. Or it's crazy to tell the caller from Fairbanks who was talking about the real estate value decline there and they're having trouble, can't give away a building for $500,000, so maybe they should raise the rates, commissions for realtors to get their fair share from the home buyers. It just doesn't make any economic sense. You know, recently with the change in administration in Washington, with the recent election, We're witnessing a growth in the stock market, a renewed optimism in America, in the possibility of jobs returning and manufacturing returning to America. And why is this? Well, several factors, but some I would submit is that President Trump and his administration have promised to reduce regulations, to promote responsible resource development, and to lower taxes. We should be doing the same thing in the state of Alaska to help our state get out of this economic recession. Following that example, to bring optimism and jobs back to our industry. Another caller talked about, used the term banana republic. I refer to John Sturgeon's testimony about the timber industry. You want to talk about a banana republic, that's the government literally destroying an entire industry, not due to lack of resource or capability or manpower, but government power alone. Ask Kalis of Brooks Range about these tax credits. I think it would be crazy, just as crazy, if I was to tell the IRS, I can't pay my tax bill, I don't have the money now, so I'd like to veto my tax obligation, or I'd like to pass a law to lower my liabilities. It just doesn't work that way, and it shouldn't work that way in our state and with this industry. So I think we should be focusing on ways to increase production, to align ourselves with the producers, with the developers, with the newcomers to the state, like Kalis, Brooks Range, the others that have been mentioned. These are a good thing for Alaska, good thing for our economy overall, to help pay for the schools, the resources that we need as citizens of the state. And so I'll just conclude by restating I'm against HB 111. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. We appreciate your testimony this evening. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, thank you again, Mr. Christensen. We're going to go to George Pierce next, please. George Pierce.
Hello? Are you there?
We're here. We can hear you. Please state your name for the record.
My name's George Pierce. I'm calling from Kasilak, Alaska. Yes, on HB 111. And for the industry, let's get one thing straight. The legislators changed the oil taxes at the request of the oil industry. So, you know, when is enough and enough? And I'd like to thank you legislators for putting this bill together without the oil industry writing it. So, you know, it's a start, but it's not enough. Our last and most recent tax policy was modeled on $100 a barrel, and we haven't seen $100 a barrel since 2013 to 2014, and yet we're still not addressing all the giveaways. Our current version of the production tax involves large cash payments to the industry. These payments have made the tax rate negative and has crippled our state to balance a budget. Our state credits are already promoted as an investment in future oil. Exactly one-third automatically invested when you take it from the general fund to pay tax credits. Our production tax is no longer a tax. All it is a redistributing money between the oil companies and the state. Raising the production tax from 4% to 5% would really just recoup revenue lost under the 4% floor with these stackable credits. You've got to get rid of these stackable credits and fix that. And remember, you should raise the tax floor to 8% at least. And remember, ELF was at 7%. Our oil industry have literally become welfare recipients. Currently, our state pays 35% of cost for new development. Our state, through credits, pay 85% of exploration cost, along with 55 to 65% of development cost for new production or investments. Our very own state tax director, Ken Alpert, estimates we are into these investment projects through credits at least $24 a barrel. And Robin Brenner was right on. Our state tax director said we would be better off investing in the stock market. In 2018, our production tax will be minus $900 million, and the state's prediction shows production at such low levels for as far as well into the future. And a prediction and also said it wasn't due to low oil prices. Fix these problems. Production taxes and subsidies have become too costly. Increased production won't help, even if we have to pay for it. Negative numbers means no payoff for the state.
Mr. Pierce?
Even. History and evidence tells you these credits will not yield large future revenues for our state.
Mr. Pierce?
In return, the state would get is large expenditures, and we cannot afford these. There's no budget for little revenue. So,
Mr. Pierce?
111, it does not go enough to address revenue.
So, Mr. Pierce? I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm wrapping up right now, ma'am.
Okay.
The U.S. lost 215,000 jobs between 2015 to 2017, and they only put 12% jobs back in the oil sector. And, you know, our oil industry have literally become, we all need to benefit from a fair system. That means going back to a separate accounting system for the oil industry.
Okay.
And distributing and determining losses for the tax.
Mr. Pierce, I really, really appreciate your testimony, and I don't mean to be rude by cutting you off, but just as a matter of fairness, we did give you a little extra time, and so we do need to go on to the next person. And so if you had one last sentence.
I apologize, and thank you very much. You're very, very polite to everybody, and thank you for taking my testimony, ma'am.
Well, thank you, Mr. Pierce. We appreciate hearing from you and appreciate your testimony, and thanks for not minding me cutting you off.
Thank you.
Okay, we are going to go. We've got a couple more at the Anchorage LAO, then we're going to circle back to the Homer LAO for our last person, and then the few last off nets. So, Deborah Berlini at the Anchorage LAO, please.
Good evening. My name is Deborah Berlini, and I am testifying on behalf of myself, and I'm testifying in opposition to House Bill 111. I'm a 41-year Alaskan who grew up with oil. My friends and I have rode the ups and downs of oil booms and busts, and we believe Alaska's best days are yet to come. Alaska's future includes oil, and increasing oil production is how we weather this fiscal storm. In 2011, I traveled to Juneau, and I had the opportunity to testify to House Resources in support of House Bill 110, oil and gas tax reform. I testified about 1986, the year Alaska's economy crashed, in 98. I spoke about being laid off at ARCO with hundreds of ARCO employees all in one day. I then went on to foreclose on homes for 5 years. My best friend's family was one of the first bankruptcies in the state of Alaska after the crash. We overcame the economic crash when oil prices rose and we had plenty of oil flowing through taps. It's 2017, and my worst fears I testified about in 2011 are now being realized. Alaska is still a world-class oil province with new opportunities on the horizon. The focus should be increasing oil production through taps and reducing regulation. We should be partnering with our oil producers, who are Alaska's largest investors and taxpayers. Hindering capital investment does not serve Alaska well and will only lead to more layoffs in the oil industry, ending six-figure salaries flowing through Alaska's economy. Alaska needs more oil through taps. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Berlini. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, thank you so much for joining us. And then let's go back to the Homer LIO. Brenda Dolma, please.
Hi.
Hi there, Brenda. If you could please state your name for the record and please provide us with your testimony.
Hi, my name is Brenda Dolma. I live in Homer, Alaska, our beautiful state. And please pass House Bill 111. I appreciate you writing that. It is time that oil pays their fair share. I think about Exxon. We haven't cleaned up from that. It's impacted other industries that are top industries, such as our fishing and tourism. We need to diversify. I understand as our industry has been reduced in the oil that this has been a loss of jobs. We need to look at renewable energies and re-educate, provide credits to increasing that. And by providing oil industry through House Bill 111, paying their fair share, this will assist us. So now is the time that we need them to do this. In fact, we need to keep our oil in the ground at this time. Alaska, as you all know, is a hot spot for climate change. Here in Alaska, here in our own bay, in Kachemak Bay, we're seeing more and more dead zones. Since I've moved here, I've seen a decline of every single species that used to be profitable in industries. We need to protect it, keep the oil in the ground as a resource until it becomes even more valuable than it is today. This bill assists in the industry paying their fair share and not providing additional corporate welfare. We need to support the people. We need to support the planet. And thank you so much for bringing it forth. And thank you to continue to think about diversification of our other resources that protect our beautiful, beautiful state. And it's now the time to do that, and I thank you for your time and your service. Pass House Bill 111. And one other thing, I've just observed in the time I've been here that you've had quite a lot of industry testimony, and so I recognize their jobs are at stake. And that's why, as we're looking at the economy, that I suggest that we look at supporting and diversifying through education and credits. Thank you. Support House Bill 111.
Thank you, Ms. Dolmar. We appreciate your testimony this evening. That completes everyone that's at the Homer LIO. There's a question actually from Representative Parrish for you.
Actually, although, Ms. Dolmar, I thank you for your testimony, I just want to commend whoever it is over at the Homer LIO who set up a timer. That's very cool. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Homer LIO moderators, for helping us get through here. Okay, we're going to go. We've got a couple more on the off-net, and then the last Anchorage person for this evening is Lynn Cameron available. Lynn Cameron? Okay, why don't I go to Lisa Houghton? And if Lynn comes back on, we'll be happy to take your testimony. Lisa Houghton, is Lisa available?
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Could you please state your name for the record?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I appreciate the hard work of the committee and the opportunity to have my voice heard over by phone this evening. My name is Lisa Houghton, and I'm calling to oppose House Bill 111. As you know, probably know, this is the 40th year from Prudhoe Bay, which is celebrating its anniversary this year, and that's 10 years longer than was predicted at the time of startup. Really is a direct result of the continued investment by the companies and, of course, innovative technology. We certainly have a major fiscal problem in Alaska that requires more than just a short-term fix of a tax that House Bill 111 represents. Increasing these taxes are not going to increase the production. They're not going to increase jobs. It's not going to create an economic boost. If this bill, should it be passed, we have to ask ourselves how many new discoveries like Smith Bay will go undiscovered? How many new businesses won't even be created? How many companies will go out of business? How many people will lose their jobs and have to move their families out of the state that they love and call home? Alaska can't control the price of oil, but, you know, what we can control is the business climate that we create here, one that creates certainty and encourages continued investment. The oil development investment is really a long-term proposition, and it really does gravitate to stable environments. The companies have numerous opportunities, as we've heard many listeners tonight mention, to invest. But in this environment, this low-price environment, they don't have a lot of dollars, and so they have to be choosy about where is the best place to invest. And I want Alaska to be that best place to invest. We just can't chase away that investment. We've got to attract it here. Oil tax reform in 2013, I believe it was, really did make Alaska more competitive. And that's how what we've seen and the investment we've seen these last few years are a direct result of that. And in fact, really production after that investment, the tax reform, has stabilized. It had a small decline in 2014, slight dip in 2015, but we had, for the first time in 14 years, an increase in production in 2016. Alaska needs the investment now more than ever to keep the oil production up and to protect Alaskan jobs and businesses, as well as the important revenue that production generates for the state. Please don't chase it away with House Bill 111. And again, thank you for your time and the opportunity to express my opinion tonight.
Thank you very much, Ms. Houghton. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, it looks like we may have lost Lynn Cameron. Apologies in case you're listening in, and we'll make an announcement about the final opportunity to testify when we finish out tonight. So going to the Anchorage LIO, to Lori Funani.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, if you could please state your name for the record, and then we'd love to hear your testimony.
Good evening. I'm Lori Fagnani, and I appreciate this opportunity to speak against House Bill 111. I'm a small business owner in Anchorage, and I'm here representing myself and my 23 full-time employees, all of which who are dependent on a healthy oil and gas economy. Our company is down about 20%, like many others you've heard tonight, and our margins have been drastically reduced in the oil and gas sector. Simply put, House Bill 111 will jeopardize the recent progress or the uptick in production levels of the pipeline, and we worked so hard to get there. Most critically, it will discourage investment by producers on the North Slope at a time we need to be partnering with them to produce more oil. It's the only way to protect Alaska jobs. The answer is not more punitive taxes, but rather incentives that put more oil in the pipeline. More oil means more revenue for public schools, roads, and safety. We need to increase the size of the pie. I urge you to oppose House Bill 111. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? Okay. That completes the individuals that were signed up tonight, and I was wanting to be done by 8:30, and we're a few minutes shy of that, so that is why I had cut off public testimony for people to sign up at 7:40. One of the challenges is that you don't have a good sense of how many people are going to sign up. So what we want to do on Wednesday is that hearing is scheduled for starting at 6 p.m. We'll do that as the last opportunity for public testimony. However, on Wednesday, individuals will need to be signed up by 6:15 if they want to testify that evening. And then, you know, if there's nobody there, then that'll be that. We'll be finished up quickly. And so I appreciate the committee's patience with that. I think it's been really, personally, I really appreciate hearing from so many different perspectives and organizations and companies in terms of understanding what's going on, particularly with employment concerns. So that I find very helpful. What we will do on Wednesday, we'll have the final opportunity for public testimony beginning at 6 p.m. You'll need to be signed up by 6:15 if you plan to testify, and then we will close out public testimony for this bill. As a reminder, then, Wednesday afternoon, what we're going to do is hear from Alyeska Pipeline Company about management of TAPS, their 40th anniversary, so we'll be celebrating that as well as getting an update from them. And for anyone following along and for members, we've delayed the amendment due time to Wednesday at 1 p.m., and hopefully that will accommodate everyone. We've tried to make appointments with everyone in the next day or so just to make sure that will work for everyone. So if there's no other business to come before the committee, going once, going twice. Okay, we are going to adjourn at 8:17. Thank you so much to our LIO moderator and Ms. Tillinghast for their great work in the evening. Thank you.